All right, good morning. I would like to call the House Education Committee to order. Today is March 8th. The time is 8:01 a.m. Today we have present the co-chair of House Education, Representative Jamie Allard, Representative McKay, Representative McCormick, Representative Himshute, Representative Story, and myself, Co-Chair Ruffridge. So we do have a quorum to conduct business. Please remind those in the audience and members of the committee to make sure that your cell phones are on silent. And the staff that are assisting us today is Linda with House Records. Thank you, Linda, and Kelsey with the LIO in charge of the red button. Also, if anyone needs anything, my committee aide is Chief of Staff Bud Sexton in the corner today. We have the following items on our agenda today, and our agenda needs to be relatively short because we have Finance Subcommittee that starts at 9 a.m. this morning. First up, we do have House Bill 9, which is the adding faculty member to the University Board of Regents. We will be hearing public testimony on that today. And then, as time allows, we will rehear House Bill 31 regarding the Alaska Performance Scholarship. Any comments, questions from the committee before we get started? Let the record reflect at 8:03, Representative Prox has joined us. All right, seeing none, Representative Carrick, if you are ready, we will begin on House Bill 9. Maybe give us a brief introduction, reintroduction to your bill, and then I will open public testimony.
Great. Thank you to the chair and members of the committee. Thanks for hearing again House Bill 9, which adds a faculty member to the University of Alaska's Board of Regents this morning. I'm really pleased to be bringing this bill forward for your consideration once again, and I hope that folks will take a lot away from the public testimony today. I think there are a number of faculty who are really excited to be able to talk about the issue with everyone here and address some of the challenges that the university faces without this representation on the board and how having a faculty regent really adds to the overall direction and composition for the governance of the University of Alaska. Just wanted to reiterate a couple of quick talking points. One is that when we look at boards and commissions throughout the state and we look at their composition and who gets appointed to them, you often see that industry experience, and that's incredibly important for the functioning of those boards. We wouldn't want a board of dental examiners or a board of massage therapists with nobody in the profession. And many of the folks who are appointed to the Board of Regents currently come from an industry background, and that's a really valuable perspective when we're talking about workforce development and we're talking about preparing students for the careers that they're going to hopefully pursue in Alaska outside of the university structure. And one of the things that really motivated me to bring this legislation forward is the fact that we have a student regent, and that student regent is not just a perfunctory role. They have a real stake in the guiding of the university system. They have more than just a seat at the table, is what I like to say. They have full board powers. They can vote. They travel with the board. And for the 2 years which they serve as a student regent, they are fully immersed in that environment. And many current and former regents will tell you that it's very valuable to have that student perspective, because other regents don't necessarily have those day-to-day experiences of going to classes and going through their programs. And it's also a place for all students to go to if they want to make sure their voice is heard with the regents body. And so I see the role of a faculty regent as really in parallel with that. We, as a university system, have a job to educate Alaskans, and we also have a world-class Arctic research university system. And faculty provides so much in the way of both educating and instructing students and in working on things like Arctic defense, Arctic exploration, development, and many other areas. And so having that faculty perspective, I think, just really adds a well-rounded balance to the current board. And I just hope that you all can continue to consider this bill in the public testimony. And my staff just has a brief note from the previous committee with a follow-up document.
Thank you, Mr. Relay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Stuart Relay, staff representative Carrick. In the previous hearing, Representative McKay asked kind of what the composition of the board was, and I did provide this document to the committee, which kind of provides snippets from their Board of Regents bio that you can find on alaska.edu/BOR/members. That their website goes into a lot further detail. But from this document and on their website, you will be able to see that a good portion, and close to, if not a majority of the board, has a business background, not a bad thing, just pointing that out.
Thank you, Mr. Relay. Any questions for the bill's sponsor before we move to public testimony? I would like to thank Representative Carrick for using the word perfunctory this morning. That's an excellent vocabulary word. Those of you on the Education Committee might need to Google it. All right. Seeing none, I will open public testimony. And it looks like we do have a number of people scheduled for testimony in the room. We will start with Maria Williams from the University of Alaska Anchorage. Please have a seat and introduce yourself for the record. Name and affiliation would be fantastic. And public testimony will be limited to 3 minutes, limited time today.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for taking the time to take public testimony. My name is Maria Williams, and I am a faculty member at the University of Alaska Anchorage. I was born and raised in Anchorage as my hometown, and I've been teaching at UAA for over 11 years, and basically every single member of my family has gone to UAA, and including my father. So it's a very important part of my biography. But I also served as Faculty Senate President at UAA and former Faculty Alliance Chair. So I will say that the Board of Regents oftentimes deals with the complexities of the roles of the faculty, and it's complicated. I oftentimes say it's like the military. So basically, I'm like an old army general, because there's different ranks of faculty, different roles. So some of the mundane aspects of making decisions about general education, GER alignment, course block alignment, oftentimes are my voice, at least when I was Faculty Alliance Chair. We have about 7 to 10 minutes at the beginning of every Board of Regents meeting to speak, and then that's it. So the Board of Regents is engaged in conversation. Oftentimes when it's dealing with faculty issues or things that directly relate to the faculty, they're kind of going in roundabout discussions because they don't really have the full understanding. And we don't have the ability to speak or address, even though we can raise our hands. More serious issues have occurred, of course. So, for example, the University of Alaska Anchorage, the former chancellor, with the budget cuts that we received in 2019, said, well, let's just get rid of some academic programs. So sociology, theater and dance, environment and society. And the way that was presented to the board was like, here's the faculty, here's their salaries, and here is their benefits. Boom. We're saving whatever, $1.2 million or whatever the figure was. But the reality of that, of course, was that the faculty were tenured. They just moved to other departments or other programs. So in essence, you can't just – they're gone. They're not at-will employees. Also, no one took into account the lost tuition dollars of students, the lost grant dollars, and most importantly, the damage it did to the students. It was greatly frustrating for us faculty that we were not able to provide some other possibilities, some other solutions that we still could have had a cost savings without damaging students, high enrolled, healthy academic programs. So I want to say that if we had the ability to have those discussions, have a voice at the table, I think it would make the university stronger and more powerful. And those decisions would be perhaps in some cases less damaging. So thank you so much. And it's cold in Juneau. I think it's colder here than Anchorage. Thank you.
Thank you. And well done. Please stay. Make sure that no one on the committee has any questions. Representative Allen.
Thank you for being here. It is a little cold. It was very windy last night.
At least it's sunny.
thank you. Yes, through the chair. Have you testified in front of the Board of Regents at any time?
Yes, when I was Faculty Alliance Chair at the very beginning, typically the Chair of Faculty Alliance, the Staff Alliance, and the Coalition of Student Leaders, they have about 7 minutes. It's timed. And if you go over the time, they just cut you off. So, and we do can give written reports, but if you look at if you're on the Regents, you'll get a packet that's about 5 or 6 inches deep, and oftentimes they can't get through all the written material. So we are allowed to provide a report as well as about 7 minutes of testimony.
May I, Chair? I have a couple more questions. Follow up. It's not just for one individual to testify, though. It could be 20 faculty members.
So the Board of Regents does allow public testimony, but it used to be right before their board meeting would start, they'd have about 2 hours in the morning, like, you know, 8 to 10. But it's been moved to remote testimony a week before the meetings, and then the regents can listen on the Zoom or the phone or whatever, and it's a week before the meeting. And that they've limited the amount as well. But in terms of the Board of Regents' actual meeting, the only faculty person allowed to speak is the Chair of Faculty Alliance.
Thank you.
And for that 7 minutes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Ruffridge. Through the chair, welcome. And thank you for all your work and dedication to higher education post-secondary for Alaska. One of the questions I hear asked a lot is how would this affect when the Board of Regents has to do negotiations? How do you see the role of if there was a faculty person on the Board of Regents during those times?
Are you referring to the union? So recently we've gone through the collective bargaining agreement. I was not part of that. I'm not an officer in the union. So typically when I was watching the CBA negotiations, it's with a handful of the leaders. I think it's very easy when it comes to voting, people can recuse themselves as a conflict of interest. So the faculty could say conflict of interest, I'm not comfortable voting on the contract. So I think it's not unusual to have conflict of interest among the regents. Some of the regents have had children or grandchildren in different programs that might or might not be affected. So I think that it would not be a challenge to just abstain if there were conflict of interest.
Follow up, Representative Story.
Thank you for that answer through the chair. And so does that encompass there's the unions who do the people who are representative of the unions meet with the representatives of the regents. So does that in all of the meetings to report to the regents what has been happening with the unions, the dialogue, you see, you're saying that they would be recused from all of that information or just from voting?
I would say that probably just from the voting, but typically the regents aren't involved in the negotiation of the CBA. It's typically like the president, it's the statewide officers. The regents vote on it, though. They're provided the information and they do vote on it, but they're not part of the negotiation. That's taken the president's office.
Follow up? Thank you, through the chair. When you say, I know that there's teams, but the president is debriefing the Board of Regents about what has been happening. And so that is what I'm referring to. Would you see the region as part of that and just recusal from the voting?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Allen.
Just through the chair, just for follow-up or clarification, Are you saying that this is only going to be a faculty member that we're fighting for that you're fighting for UAF versus, are you saying for the entire system?
For the entire system. And just to give an example, so for example, Faculty Alliance consists of the elected leadership of the three faculty senates, so the president, the upcoming president, and then the chair rotates. So one year it's UAA, the next year it's UAF. Currently, Gokhan Karahan at UAA is the Faculty Alliance chair. That is going to rotate to UAS after May. So it's a rotating basis, and they meet every 2 weeks. And so the leaders of the three faculty senates discuss the issues. Sometimes those issues are very specific to their university, but sometimes they rise up to the level of affecting all faculty. So that's the role of Faculty Alliance.
Sure. Follow
up. Thank you. Follow up. Through the chair. Would it surprise you, I'm not going to mention names, but several leadership individuals in leadership do not support this?
I think that there's a fear that somehow the faculty are like an angry mob. And I'm telling you, we're not an angry mob. We're all very dedicated to our respective universities. And if you actually look at the years that we serve, like I've had five deans, five provosts, and five chancellors, and I've been at UAA 11 years. So the upper administration changes, right? But who's there through the years? There's faculty, Jill Crosby Flanders is retiring after 40 years, other faculty I know. So we're there because we're very engaged with our programs and our students, and we're not there to like take over the university. And you can't do it. It's not set up that way. It's just, it would just allow us to have those very important conversations with the other regions when it pertains to things that are, you know, they might not understand or they might need more of a nuanced definition of.
Follow up, Representative.
Yes, thank you. And through the chair. So sometimes I would prefer the rotation, because then the bureaucrats start running the system and then you have a problem.
I concur 100%. I believe in a rotating system. And I think the way that the bill's set up, it could be a 2-year term and it rotates through. It should rotate from UAA, UAF, and UAS. If this comes to fruition, I think that would be very important.
Thank you. Other questions for Maria Williams? All right. Seeing none, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
And we will ask Heather Batchelder to come forward. Thank you for being here. Please introduce yourself for the record, name and your affiliation, and you have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Heather Batchelder, and I'm here. I live in Juneau. I've been here 11 years, and I prepare teachers at the University of Alaska Southeast. I was Faculty Alliance Chair as well, and I served as Faculty Senate President during one of the most tumultuous times in the history of the UA system. And we've come out of this stronger, and we are united as faculty, and we feel that the system would benefit from adding a faculty regent. It would be quite helpful in onboarding, no pun intended, the newly appointed regents, because we do have the institutional knowledge. And we could help them with their clear up some misconceptions about academia that many people have. There's many systems that do have faculty regents, such as the University of Oregon, Baylor, University of California system, the University of Colorado system, and the University of Washington. So it's not unusual to have this. There are many kinds of shared governance. And as Maria said, having a faculty at the table with a voice would strengthen our university so that we could partner with the state and our pre-K through 12 system and just be the strongest. We could be strong in all areas if we all work together. And having a faculty voice would definitely strengthen our board.
Well, thank you. Any questions for Heather Batchelder? All right, seeing none, thank you for your testimony. That moves us on to Luann Picard. And please introduce yourself for the record. Share the last name of my favorite Star Trek captain. Not the same spelling, though. So
actually, he's my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson.
Really? Oh. Fantastic. Tell us more. No. testimony.
Make it so. So hi, I'm Luann Picard. I am chair of the project management department in the College of Engineering at UAA. And I am also first vice president for the Faculty Senate at UAA. So next year I'll be the president of Faculty Senate. So I'm really delighted to be here and really appreciate the opportunity to address you today. I actually want to say, I've tried to read some of my comments to make sure that I can stay on time, but I'm definitely the product of anything is possible, made possible by the University of Alaska. My dad was the first person in his family to graduate from college. He went on to get a PhD. And when I was a kid, he was offered a job here at UAA to, and we moved up as a family, and I graduated from East High. And I was one of those kids that decided to go outside of Alaska for college. I got my engineering degrees from Stanford, and I started working for Hewlett-Packard right out of university, designing fiber optic transmitters and receivers of all things. And but why I talk about that is my final job at HP, I was there for about 20 plus years. I was an executive. I was a vice president running one of our large global telecommunication test and measurement businesses. So I was able to kind of rise through the ranks. And I was really excited because one of the things that was kind of a hallmark of what we did was we determined that almost every phone call in the world probably passed through some piece of Hewlett-Packard technology, you know. And so I went into engineering to design things that would change people's lives, and I really felt that I had accomplished that. When our daughter was born, my husband and I decided to retire out of tech because I was traveling probably 60% of my time. Moved back to Alaska, state that I love, raised my daughter closer to family, and we both became professors at the university with the intent to give back, to be able to bring our industry experience into the classroom and help students achieve their goals and help to develop the state of Alaska. And what I was impressed by when I worked for Hewlett-Packard was not only the leadership of that organization and the vision from, you know, two fellows who started in a garage in Palo Alto to something that became a pretty iconic corporation in the world, but that they decided to co-locate all of their facilities around the world next to top-end universities. And they believed that that was critically important to their success, not only to create a pipeline of graduates into the company, but also to collaborate with universities around research. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't for selfish reasons. They were embedded in the communities. They really tried to make sure that what they were doing was going to be sustainable and lasting, which is something I think we all care about here. The pathway of my life in many ways has come full circle back to the University of Alaska, and I believe that many of my life's opportunities were made possible because of it. And though my path to academia may be different than some of my colleagues, we all share the same passion for our students, academic excellence, and vibrant community engagement. I know that we have, as university faculty, we have much in common with you. We create value through teaching, research, and service, and produce innovative thinking, educating future leaders, and build connections with our community. And your career and your service to Alaska is also inspired by some of those same things. You want to help Alaska achieve its potential, build a sustainable economic future, and make positive change in generations of lives. And the decisions that you guys make help advance our future, provide stability, and help families grow and thrive here in Alaska, despite the many challenges that we have. So I really appreciate all that you do and want you to know how much in common we share. I would like to say, in support of what Maria and Heather have also said, is that one of the leadership examples that I learned from Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard, who I got a chance to meet and know, was that when you have, you always are looking for new voices to bring to the conversation, because that's where innovation lives, and that's where ideas and creativity thrive and the opportunity to produce positive change and outcomes. And as a leader, it's not only our responsibility to identify those voices, but pull up a chair for other people to bring those diverse perspectives into the room to help make better decisions. And we feel that having a faculty regent would in fact help support bringing a diversity of voice into the room that has the experience, judgment, and knowledge that can actually contribute to the conversation and make the board stronger. So you have the opportunity to recognize that importance through HB9 and the importance of faculty contribution to advancing and shaping the strategic direction of our university. And I would like to encourage you to support having faculty with a seat at the table as an equal peer. Thank you.
Thank you, Luann Picard. Questions? Representative Allard.
Thank you. Through the chair, how do you feel about those individuals that are currently on the Board of Regents that were faculty members, have lengthy careers with the University of Alaska?
I don't think we have any members on the Board of Regents that were previous faculty members at the university.
We have very lengthy bios here, through the chair, of individuals that have attended the University of Alaska, were adjunct professors, and that were in charge of finance and other areas. And have graduated from there as well.
Yeah, through the chair, I understand there are a lot of people on the board who have had academic experience at UAA, either in family members where they've attended, but I'm not familiar with many that have been full-time faculty members that are part of the, were full-time faculty. Maybe have had staff roles or administrative roles, but I don't know that, maybe Maria would know, but I'm not aware of anyone who's had a full-time faculty experience.
Thank you. We have quite a few here on the resumes. Thank you, though.
Other questions? Representative Prox.
Thank you. Through the chair, your experience with Hewlett-Packard, was that a shareholder-owned company, or was that Hewlett and Packard?
Well, it's a publicly traded corporation, and so they – but what was really, really nice about our company, they actually pioneered the idea of profit sharing. So employees were, in fact, shareholders in the organization, and that depending on the corporate results from quarter to quarter, people were given a share of the profit based on performance goals that were set. So the employees felt a really strong sense of accountability and ownership of the culture and the performance of the organization.
And follow up?
Yeah.
Do you recall whether they had an employee representative on the board of directors?
The corporate board of directors, I don't think that they did, except for the president and CEO, who was also the chair of the board. So they would, that person would have had some level of representation, but no.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Representative Hampshire.
Hi, thank you, Chair Ruffridge. I'm not sure if I have all the documentation that Co-Chair Allard has as far as the – was there something provided to us about regents who have full-time faculty experience, because I don't have that? Or was that not provided?
Representative Allard, would you care to provide?
Yeah, I'm just looking at their individuals' resumes of who attended, who sat on boards, who worked as professors there, and I'm going through the list and – I've come across one because I've only been able to hit one, but it looks like, I think I put a thing, Daryl Hargraves, extensive experience, and so I'm just going through the list.
Okay. Thank you.
The answer to that is no.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
And then I think the last person we have in the room for testimony is Jenny Carroll. And please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and then you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you all for having us here today. I'm Jenny Carroll. I am the president-elect of the UAF Faculty Senate. Like Luann, I am one of those people who graduated from Alaska, from UAF, or not UAF, I did eventually, but from Lathrop. I went outside to college, came back, and, sorry, I have been working for UAF since 1999. I started out in Fort Yukon in a staff position there, moved into Fairbanks, and eventually moved into a faculty position. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, the expertise or why we would want somebody, a faculty representative on the board. You know, the university's job, every piece of the university's job is something that involves faculty, right? So teaching, if you want welding taught, you have faculty who are teaching that. If you want process tech, if you want business management, if you want anthropology, which is what I ended up going through university in, if you want biology, faculty are teaching those. If you want research done, it's faculty who's doing it. And the service to the communities, the outreach. I actually teach in rural development, so my department deals with the entire state. We have students all over the state, and we do outreach all over the state. So it's faculty who are doing the business of the university, and we have a great deal of knowledge and expertise in that. And we really want to be partners with this state in how we grow the state and how we grow our economy and how we grow our citizens. And that knowledge is siloed, quite frankly. It's siloed within the university. And, you know, we have a student regent, and bringing a faculty regent into the mix would provide that well-rounded knowledge so that you had somebody, maybe it was Luann, who's been talking about the four corners of the envelope, right? And you need all four corners. Well, we're a corner, and we're not there. And so that is why we really are supporting this bill. We'd like to be at the table. We'd like our expertise to be a part of what is considered. And again, faculty means all the way, every program. It's they all get taught by faculty. So,
thank you. Any questions for Jenny Carroll, Representative Proffitt?
Just first, how are we doing for time?
We are. Well, that was a perfect testimony.
She right.
Was right at 3 minutes. But, yes, we have time.
We have time for questions. Okay. There certainly is a case to be made for having faculty representation. But currently, would a faculty member be excluded through the current nomination process and approval process? It's a political process, I get it. But would a faculty member have to resign their position should they decide they want to serve and apply for a Board of Regents position?
I have no idea.
I hadn't thought about that either yet. All right, very good.
Thank you. I have no idea.
All right.
Thank you. Sure. Representative McKay.
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, really don't have I want to thank Representative Carrick for bringing this bill forward. Just a real kind of a simple question. Adding another member to the board would make it 12 members. Mm-hmm. So just theoretically, what would happen if there's a tie vote? Has anybody thought about that? How would that be handled if there's a tie vote on the board? Because normally you have an odd number, right?
Right. There's been some discussion of that. I think one of the things that one of the big things is that, quite frankly, the board tends to vote unanimously. You're not looking at a huge contention, right? You don't get close votes, and so we really don't see that as something that's going to come up. There's just not – things don't get to the board level at that level of controversy. So it's about being a part of the decision-making team, but it's not about, breaking ties or dictating things.
Well, I just thought for the record, we should – sorry, a follow-up, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just thought we should maybe have on the record, what would happen if that did happen. How would we – how would you guys deal with that? That's all
I – I think the board would have to have a policy, right? They need to establish it.
Yeah. Thank you. Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Ruffridge. I'm remembering that Rep. Carrick had covered that in a previous hearing. If she could refresh our memories about that, I would find that helpful.
Yes, Representative Carrick. I was going to bring you up at the end for questions, but if you could provide some context for tie votes, that would be great.
Great. Thank you for the record, Representative Carrick, House District 35. Just to answer Representative McKay's question really quickly, the board composition under this legislation would be increased to 12 members, and a majority of board members present for the quorum would be required to approve a motion. And then just one note that I think our public testifier just kind of spoke to a little bit is that almost exclusively in the history of the Board of Regents, votes are taken on nearly a unanimous basis. So it's unlikely going forward that it would really come down to just one vote or another. However, we do have a process in place for a tie situation, and it would just be a majority. So if the full complement of board members was present, which is very typical at meetings, it would be 7 members to approve any motion.
Thank you, Representative Carrick. Follow-up, Representative McKay.
Well, having been on a lot of boards and stuff, you just want to have that clear. You know, it's just a suggestion. That should be clear on how that would work so that you don't end up with a gridlock situation where you can't move forward, I would suggest. Thank you.
Representative Allen.
Thank you. And through the chair, I believe they would go by Robert's rules. And in Robert's rule, a tie fails. So it would automatically just fail whatever and nothing passes.
Okay.
So PTSD from the Anchorage Assembly, just so you know.
Yeah, and through the chair to Representative Allard, I misspoke earlier. 7-5, if it's a tie vote, 6-6, it would fail. So you're correct, Representative Allard.
Thank you, Representative Carrick.
Seeing no other questions, we will go online. Thank you for your testimony. And just as a note for time, we do have quite a number of testifiers online. And we, again, must be done at 9 o'clock. And I know that there was an intent to hear House Bill 31 today. We may not have time to hear that again if testimony goes a little long, just for the interested parties in the room. So next up online, we have Tim Woody from Anchorage. If you can hear us, please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation. And you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Tim Woody. I'm the father of a graduate student at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and I'm a resident of Anchorage who has deep concerns about the future of our state and our education system. And I personally know a number of present and former university faculty members and have listened to their frustrations and concerns. After years of budget cuts that have reduced the number of faculty and majors available to University of Alaska students, enrollment is declining. Faculty morale has taken a beating from the administration's bargaining team, belittling and disrespecting faculty over 14 months of difficult negotiations. UAA faculty members have gone more than 6 years without a pay raise, while inflation and the cost of living, especially in Alaska, has climbed significantly. We continually ask them to do more with less, and we are providing fewer opportunities for students by depriving them of educational paths and majors in such key areas as sociology. Building a stronger, more resilient, and sustainable state and state economy requires investment in our universities, the investment of time, money, resources, and people. Those decisions should be made with the best available information. No one better understands the challenges and needs of students more than faculty, yet they have zero representation on the Board of Regents. This isn't an oversight. This is an injustice for both faculty and students. Having former faculty members on the Board of Regents, as mentioned earlier, has merit, but it is vital to have a member with current, firsthand knowledge and perspective of faculty concerns. I, for example, have academic experience as a former student who earned a Bachelor of Arts degree from Arizona State University, but I would never presume to know the needs of today's undergraduate students. As an Alaska citizen, I strongly endorse the appointment of the faculty representative as a voting member of the Board of Regents. This should have been done long ago, and we shouldn't delay in making it happen now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woody, for your testimony. Next up, we have Max Kohlberg. Please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Max Kohlberg, and I'm an associate professor at the Wyoming School of Medical Education at UAA. Thank you for this opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 9, which would create a faculty region. I want to thank Representative Carrick for introducing the bill. I find a lot of my points echo what you brought up in your intro. So in 2020, the NWCCU indicated the accreditations of the University of Alaska were at risk, and to come into compliance, we had to improve in 2 aspects. The first was to delineate the roles of the chancellor and the president. The second was to improve shared governance. HB 9 would be an enormous step in the right direction for improving shared governance at the university. The bill for introducing a faculty region has incredible support and has generated real excitement at the university. The representative assembly of the faculty union, which represents over 1,100 full-time faculty across Alaska, is voted unanimously to endorse creating a faculty region. If you've ever watched a Board of Regents meeting, you'll quickly see the value of the student region. They offer a unique perspective, and the regents often turn to that student regent with questions to gauge the pulse of the student body. The faculty regent could be equally valuable. We have a knowledge of academic programs, research, and inner workings of the university. The regents could lean on that to make decisions with a comprehensive understanding of how those decisions will impact students, staff, faculty, and the local community. Adding a faculty member to the Board of Regents isn't a radical idea. It would follow a national trend across the country. Examples of university systems that have incorporated faculty on their boards of regents include the University of California system, SUNY in New York, and the college systems across Tennessee and Kentucky. I did want to briefly address Representative Storr's earlier point today about some administration not supporting the faculty regent. I really see this bill in the faculty regent as accomplishing two things. The first is kind of what I mentioned, to provide that tool that the regents can use to understand certain aspects of the university. But the other is really to act as a bridge between administration and faculty. You know, part of the frustration for faculty come from feeling that we don't have a voice, you know, no way to communicate ideas, no way to take part in the university that we feel so passionate about. I really believe that this bill would be a step that reduces tension and opens up the communication between administration and faculty, two groups that really have the same goal and are part of the same team. The passage of HB 9 would represent a turning point in shared governance. With this bill, faculty would have a voice and a constructive avenue for sharing their combined knowledge to help create a great University of Alaska system. And just to briefly address the idea that faculty members would have to resign, I think we can, it's kind of analogous to the student who doesn't give up their student position. I don't see the faculty as necessarily having to resign, but just taking on this additional role. But I am not a pro in that regard. So thank you so much for your time and for considering this bill.
Thank you. If you could hold for a question, Representative Aller.
Thank you. Mr. Kohlberg, I apologize, and I kind of missed the first part. Are you a member of faculty at UAA or at any of the universities?
Yeah, sorry about that. So I also have a long history with the university. My folks were professors here when we moved up when I was young, and I'm now I was a PhD student through Fairbanks, and now I'm a faculty member. I'm an associate professor with the Wyoming School of Medical Education at UAA.
A quick follow-up, Chair.
Follow-up.
Thank you for your service. My question is, are you a part of the union?
I was at one point, but I'm not currently a member. I mean, I'm a member of the union, but I'm not part of the representative assembly. I don't take part in the meetings right now.
Thank you. And for clarification, as faculty, just help me out a little bit, as faculty members, they could be a part of the union, which then would have a seat at the table. Is that correct?
Yeah, I might have gone too far trying to address that question because I really don't have an inner working of it. But I would think that it would be my opinion that if they were going to take on the role of faculty regent, that they should drop any sort of official role that they had with the union. I really think, you know, there's been some tension, right, between admin and faculty, but I don't see this as kind of like an enemy in the room or, you know, a little child yelling at the table. This is really, you know, I think you can tell kind of from the testimony that we really just want a way to share and make the university better. And I think probably there would be some rules set for how that faculty regent was chosen, obviously the rotation, but I think it would also involve not having a role at the union at the time.
Thank you, Mr. Colbert.
Some of the most passionate leaders are, like Maria, she never had a role. Maria Williams, who you heard first, didn't have a role at the union. She's part of faculty governance. So a lot of the people that you're hearing from that are passionate about the university kind of have found themselves in either kind of part of the union or part of the governance. But then kind of dropping those labels and those roles to take on the faculty regent role, someone like Maria who's had them in the past, but not at this moment, I think would be appropriate.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kohlberg. We will move on to Kevin Meyer online. And please introduce yourself for the record. And for the sake of time, we will limit questions until we get through public testimony. Introduce yourself for the record, Kevin Meyer, and your affiliation, and you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Kevin Meyer.
I reside just down the street from the governor's mansion, but there's no S at the end of my name, so I'm not to be confused with the other Kevin Myers. I've been teaching English and environmental humanities courses at UAS since 2004. In addition to teaching and research, I've served in a number of administrative and service roles over this 19-year period, including department chair, director of writing programs, director of English, and now I coordinate our environmental studies program, among many, many others. I mention these latter roles as they seem important for why I support this bill that would create a faculty region, namely that the university uses a system of shared governance. Instead of hierarchical corporate structure, we strive to have equitable representative forms of governance where all voices are heard and decisions are made collectively and democratically. It's a clunky and slow system, as I'm sure you know democratic institutions can be, but it is fair, thoughtful, and careful. When it is working, our system of shared governance ensures quieter voices are elevated, that decisions are made with everyone's best interests in mind. It tends to break down when administrators, often hailing from the business world and deeply unfamiliar with this system, promote the norms of corporate culture. The University of Alaska exists for the common good of all Alaskans. It is designed to be a catalyst for innovation and, importantly, to be a place where the continuous exchange of ideas is not subject to political trends. Our system of shared governance is a key mechanism to hold open spaces for innovation and creativity. Having a faculty voice on the Board of Regents to recognize and elevate this democratic foundation that is so central to the ongoing health and success of the University of Alaska. So thanks for your careful consideration of this bill, and I urge you to support House Bill 9.
Thank you for your testimony. We will move on to William Kaysen, who is online. Please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and you have 3 minutes.
Hi, good morning. My name is William Kaysen. I'm an attorney at Anchorage and a graduate of UAA. I appreciate the opportunity to testify. I wanted to call in this morning and just say that I think our university system, by and large, does a really wonderful job. We have an underrated university system in this state. I think with regard to the bill before the committee here, it makes a lot of sense to me that when the Board of Regents is making decisions, there should be someone with classroom experience in the room, preferably recent classroom experience at our university. And so for that reason, I'd encourage the committee to support adding a faculty member from the university to the board. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I will move on to Art Nash online. Please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Art Nash. I'm a UAF Associate Professor of Energy. Prior, I was an Assistant Professor of Community Economics, working with a lot of economic developers and such at another university. I came into the state about a third of a century ago as a high school teacher, so I was not birthed in academia. There have been times that I've wanted to contact the regions, yet with different day careers that they have and locations that they're at, I haven't been sure which would be the best person to officially or initially touch base with. And I thought that being able to start access with the regent who's a faculty member would help to reduce discussion time due to a common vocabulary that we would have, a common understanding and intricate landscape of the university. This would be similar, again, to the familiarity that the current student regent has with the student body. Being that faculty are in the center of the educational coliseum, if you will, we often see situations affecting learners that given the current differences between administrators and educators, I can see the regent being a bridge to relay what we're seeing, an easy, accessible bridge. I would just wrap up by saying that having been initially trained and focusing a career that in high school teaching, that Alaska primarily, I think, has a responsibility to helping the K through 12 learners that we've invested a lot of time in get through the university system that we have. And there are sometimes gaps depending on what schools Alaskan kids have graduated from in 12th grade. and then being able to step into the university setting. There's nobody who sees that better and how to bridge those gaps and keep our investment, if you want to put it that way, of learners, young learners in the state to get through a college education and then hopefully work here than addressing those gaps. And I think that a regent, again, who's a faculty member, is a good bridge to relate a lot of that information to from the ground level. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nash. We will move on to Joel Potter online. Please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and you have 3 minutes.
Hello, my name is Joel Potter. I'm a faculty member at UAA and have served in the UA system for 10 years. I'm calling to express my support for HB 9, and I want to thank you for taking the time to take public testimony for this bill. In 2019 to 2020, I watched as the board made a series of controversial moves, eliminating the initial licensure programs in education at UAA, declaring financial exigency, pursuing a specific restructuring plan without having evaluated alternative options, and eventually deleting major programs serving about 600 students. Faculty, staff, and students called for more careful deliberation during those times about these decisions, but were largely ignored. And were it not for a letter in late fall of 2019 from our university's accrediting body, the NWCCU, that forced the board to change direction, I don't have any reason to think that the board would have abandoned restructuring plans that would have involved a rapid merger leading to the elimination of two of our universities. It was a very difficult time for the board and everyone in the university system. And what I find very promising about this bill is that it helps to ensure that the next time the board faces crises like these, it will have a member with the institutional memory and of past decisions and their consequences, and a unique perspective on the inner workings and standards and requirements that exist in higher education. I wanted to end, if I have a little time, just to address a couple common points. During that time, I really appreciated Mr. Hargrave's contributions to the discussion, but he was often a lone voice because he was one of the few people with educational background. And his background was in K through 12 rather than college education. I believe he served as an adjunct faculty member, but I just wanted to make it clear that the role of an adjunct faculty member, the experience they have is teaching in a class. What a full-time faculty member would provide is experience with the workings of a university, service on committees, standards of accreditation, the sorts of things that are more commonly taken up by boards. And so that's, I think, the sort of faculty member that would be identified for a faculty regent would have that sort of experience, which I think could be really valuable for the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Potter. We will move on to Stacy Lucasen, calling in online. Please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Stacy Dickerson. I am actually a former member of the Board of Regents. I was a student agent several cycles ago. And I'm here in support of House Bill 9, which is an issue that I'm still following back from that time. So while the board is composed of enthusiastic community members, people who bring a variety of experience and background, sometimes teaching, often not, it specifically includes a student member because of the unique insight and perspective that we would bring. The student member is able to vote, able to comment on policy changes, part of every discussion, and presumably we can bring up issues that are specifically important and are often asked, as has been mentioned in the testimony, during discussions, provide that input on how whatever issues before the board would impact students. On any governing body, it's often necessary to have somebody with the position being discussed able to speak, so those who may care but cannot really see can understand what they're voting on. When I was on the board, this was obviously happening. We would be in a discussion, faculty leadership in the room, but they are in the back. They aren't able to speak because the way the board is structured, the meetings are structured. I've heard a few people mention other opportunities and ways for them to be represented, and those exist, and they're good, right? But they don't do enough. You have to think about faculty, especially full-time tenure-track professors, and how they're in a different position than other categories of employees. They're much more like students, people who've committed to the institution, they've wedded their reputation, their time, their commitment to community. They're committed to the university in a different way, and they are tenured, right? So they're in the community for a long time. So they're able to build those relationships, have their kids in the schools, care about it in a way that people who were here for a year or two or who are on their way somewhere else just don't have that perspective. These are people who'd be well positioned to add depth to any discussion that's before the Board of Regents. And it doesn't hurt anything to add this. This only adds value. I understand we're short on time. I'm happy to wait around if you have questions. Otherwise, converse over email. I think this is an easy bill. You guys should definitely pass it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Alex Jorgensen. Please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and you have 3 minutes.
Hello, members of the committee. Thanks so much for taking time to hear my comments. My name is Alex Jorgensen. I live in District 23. I'm an alum of the university and a current graduate student in the Master's in Public Policy program at UAA. I just kind of wanted to echo a few of the things that I've heard today in the sense that during my time in my undergrad, the board made some very consequential decisions. You know, one of those was the decision to suspend the initial licensure program in education at UAA. And without going into whether or not that was the right call, I think we can all agree that having someone on the board that had the intimate knowledge of the programs and the, you know, institutional knowledge of the university that faculty bring, it would have really been a net positive to that whole situation. And I know we've talked about the different stakeholder groups in the university, whether it's students, faculty, staff, or even the regents themselves, but no other, you know, interest group has a long, kind of a longer stay in the university than faculty. Many of the faculty have been there for decades. So I think the knowledge and the experience that they can bring to the table is really, again, like someone else said, a net positive. And I'll kind of just close, because I know you guys are short on time, by saying, you know, when the University of Alaska is strong, the state of Alaska is strong. And I firmly believe that adding a faculty region will increase the strength of the university and in turn improve Alaska. So thanks so much for your time.
And thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Amy Lauren Lovecraft. And from online, please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. Thank you very much for hearing our testimony. My affiliation is I've been in Alaska. So I took my job as an assistant professor in 2001. I'm still here, and I am now a professor, and I direct the Center for Arctic Policy Studies. So I span both the social and natural geophysical sciences. So this morning, all the people before me have been so calm and sensible, and I prepared a personal perspective on this issue. So please bear with me. We share a lot of core values as a university and legislature and board of representatives, board of regents, excuse me, as a catalyst for learning. And we all hold this dear. But my concern is a bit a more of a 20,000K perspective. I really think that we're at a precarious point in time where so much of our infrastructure in Alaska, our intellectual and emotional capacity, is stretched pretty thin. It's a bit like a crumbling bridge between the flow of commerce of the state and the public need for a university in a location that could truly create a university that's going to be different in time and place than any other place on this planet. And so my pressing reason to talk to you about this bill is rooted, one, in fear, and two, in strategy. So very briefly, I think you all know, as the rest of us, the global order has really been tilted on its axis. We all remember the Soviet Union and the relief that we felt when it was gone. But the combination currently of climate change, which is only going to continue its trajectory, and the economic and population changes the Earth are facing, is really placing the Arctic, right, where we live, our backyard, at the center stage. And the notion that Alaska would not, in the coming decades, be the crossroads of the world is incredibly short-sighted. So what does this have to do with a faculty rep on the board? The Board of Regents. It's because the Board of Regents needs the voice of tenured faculty for all the reasons that my colleagues have pointed out, but to also help them understand how the University of Alaska now, as a research and teaching institution, is of fundamental importance to Alaska. We have got to have a functional, funded place where faculty are not afraid for their jobs. So in this sense, right, I worry that the state is going to be reduced over time, right, to being driven by outside business interests and other outside political interests, given our educational trajectory. We need to, right, invest in ourselves and invest in this university, because we're going to be center stage and power is going to be taken away from us if we don't have teaching, research, and service fully functional and fully invested in the next coming decade. The Board of Regents is a stabilizing and important force, but it needs a faculty representative who has done this teaching, research, and service, who has been here over long periods of time and has the institutional memory and, as my colleagues have pointed out, the current finger on the pulse of what is happening with the university. And I think that HB 9 can help greatly. In this sense, right, the public university of excellence is the best investment our state could ever make. Not in the in the election cycle, and not when the price of oil drops. But in the coming years, we need to recognize that a fiscally responsible university is not a private business. It is a sacred constitutional promise related to this state as it formed and to all its peoples and the union. Right? So the idea is that we share values, the legislature, the Board of Regents, the university, and the university faculty and students. We share these, and it would be a crime to allow students and the people who work dearly for this university to not be creating something that enables everybody by the end of the century in this state to be prosperous. So let me just conclude and say that I think a faculty member on the Board of Regents via HB 9, right, can greatly help the Board of Regents. Gaps in understanding are bridged by shared core values, right? So again, we have these as Alaskans, an investigative spirit, a willingness to work hard, truth-telling, and pride in a job well done, right? We all need to prepare to prosper under uncertainty. And I just want to
wrap up your testimony.
I know, my 3 minutes are up. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for your testimony, and that does bring us to the end of the folks online, and I see no one else in the room. Is there anyone else in the room wishing to testify on HB 9? Seeing none, I see no one else online. I will close public testimony, which brings it back to the room. Thank you to all of those who did take the time to testify today. Representative Carrick, would you like to give us a brief wrap-up, 1 minute or less?
Thank you very much, Chair Ruffridge. For the record, Ashley Carrick. I am very grateful for the robust discussion that took place today with some of our testifiers. Our testifiers, as you saw, were not solely faculty. We did have students, including a former student regent, and community members who chimed in. Many of the questions that were asked of the testifiers today, I have answers for, and I'm really excited to connect with all of you and help to answer some of those questions. And I just want to really thank the committee for your consideration of this legislation that I believe helps to bring the student together, bring the UA system together, and provide that seat at a table that is incredibly valuable, as each one of us can thoroughly attest to for each of our districts. So thank you so much.
And thank you, Representative Carrick. I will make note for the committee that we will set an amendment deadline for HB 9 for March 17th. So keep that in mind. And we will set this bill aside and take this up at a later date. Thank you again, Representative Carrick, and thank you to public testifiers for your time. I would like to apologize to the folks for House Bill 31 that we ran out of time today. You can stay and blame that on the Finance Subcommittee because it's pretty much their fault. We will bring I'll get it right, Santa Efford back. Thank you for taking the time to be here today. Apologies that we did not get to hear your testimony today, but we will hear it, I'm sure, in the future. Any comments from the committee before we adjourn for Finance Subcommittee? All right, seeing none, we will adjourn at 9:07 a.m. with no other business before us, and we will be back on Friday. We are adjourned.